talk about Romans 8. But can you put yourself in the mind of Jesus, standing there, reading every heart, knowing who everybody is, seeing how some are so attached to their sin that they wouldn't give it up even for the offer of heaven, and worried about them. And then to preach like any good, what can I say, tent preacher, to get them. You know, those Galileans whom Pilate killed. Do you think they were the worst Galileans in the north of the country? No way. The same could happen to you if you don't repent. Do you hear the urgency? Do you hear the love? Well, that Tower of Siloam they were building, and it fell down and killed 18 people. You think they're the worst people in Jerusalem? No. And then this parable, which may have gone with this incident, or may be joined by Luke, and you just heard it, you know. The owner looking for a fruit on the fig tree, and there isn't any. And the gardener saying, give it another chance. Give it another year. Listen today to where the Lord is telling you to repent. Go in to the sanctuary of your own heart and listen to the Lord. What does he want you to turn from sin? Where? Now, it may not be like sin that would kill you. That's what mortal sin is. It's mortalis, it kills. But are we holding up God's plan? God wants this church to be so holy and radiant that you can change hearts all over this world. There's urgency about it. So take the time today to say, all right, Lord, I'm here. Show me where I should repent. Now, we have, finally, and I have to watch the clock now, we have the text, Romans 8, 1 to 11. When Paul said back in Romans 1, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God. This is what he was talking about. It's taken him 7 chapters to prepare the scene so that we can understand this chapter. And so he begins. The last one was on law, remember? We just did it yesterday. And it ends, who will save me from the body of this death? I can't do righteousness. And it's thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then today we begin. Brothers and sisters, there's no brothers and sisters in Paul. That's the little rubric to get the reading started, right? Now of the messianic age, now that the Lord has come himself and become man and died in an act of love for us. Now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who believe in him and through that faith are joined physically to him, which happens in baptism. Why? Because the law, which is the spirit of life, has freed you from the law of sin and death. Law, chapter 7, sin, chapter 6, death, chapter 5. Now, you're free of all that. It's a law. It's like the law of gravity. You know, you sin, you die. It's the law of sin and gravity. It's this one, you see, is the law which is. The law which is the spirit of life. Isn't that what Jeremiah promised in the power of God? I will write my law in their heart. And Ezekiel develops that. I will put my spirit in them. That's what frees us. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know the great Russian saint, Seraphim of Sarov. And this devout newspaper man went out to interview him, out way out in the eastern forest of Russia. Miles and miles of them. And he found him. And he said, Father Seraphim, tell me, what is the meaning of life? And Seraphim said, the whole meaning of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit. That's the good news. God's Spirit, the very Spirit of God, dwells in us, moves us, sanctifies us, strengthens us, drags us to heaven. But what the law, weakened by the flesh, was powerless to do, God has done. You got it? Our God doesn't sit in heaven and say, well, I hope they make it. He comes. He dies for us. He comes and dwells in us, the blessed Holy Spirit. What the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God has done by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for the sake of sin, periar martias, that's just one of the sacrifices, as a sacrifice for sin, he condemns sin, big S, all the drives in the flesh. What does Paul mean by this sin? I've given you a definition before, right? It's all the emotional, biological, physical, mental, volitional, sociological, cultural, military, economic, and demonic powers that run this world. That's sin. Now, we absorb it by sinning. So now it's raging in us. But he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Fulfill. That's not the same as fulfilling the law. Fulfilling the law means you meet the requirements. This fulfill means you fill full. You go beyond that. God promised to save us. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Did he just come and meet that? No, he came himself. That's the fulfillment. I always give you that example about we're at a party, dinner party, and there's nothing on the table to drink. And I say, I'll go get something. So you're expecting me to come back with some water. And I come back with a tray filled with glasses of beautiful wine. I haven't met your expectations. I have fulfilled them. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we don't meet the law, and now we're safe. We can make it into heaven. Like if you get your ticket punched, you can park your car. No, this is life. The just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not just met, fulfilled in us. He tells us later in Romans. First, that Christ is the end of the law, and that love is the fulfillment of the law. Those of us who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And now, we've got it. Here's your choice. You have within you two dynamics, two drives, flesh and spirit. You may have noticed. Now, you follow flesh, you'll die forever. You follow spirit, you will be alive forever. And the choice, it's yours. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and you'll be a saint. But saints suffer. Hey, don't non-saints suffer? What's the difference? That they are suffering as they die to sin and live to God. So then, and now the flesh here means all this thing I've just talked about. You know, that it's this drive to connive in sin. Sin, the big S that I just described. And flesh is that innate drive within us toward self-preservation, self-aggrandizement. In other words, it's the drive to cooperate with sin. The big S, sin. And it's in us, right? I mean, it's in us 24 hours a day. The concern of the flesh, that part of us, is death. But there's another drive in us, the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And the concern of that spirit is life and peace. And so I have to skip this so we can go on. But he ends this section of, this is why he said, I'm not ashamed of the good news. This is the good news. You can be free of sin and death. You can have authority over your life. You can take your life back from Satan and sin and the world and live it yourself in love for God. That's the good news. See, if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your death-directed bodies also, through his spirit who dwells in you.